Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 131, and today's date is October 3rd, 2018. My name is Carrie, and I will be your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined by Kent. Kent, how are you tonight?
I think that clap just gave me a slight headache.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was full. Normally, I do a quiet clap, but this time I went balls deep into the clap. I don't know. That sounded amazing. Every word that just came out of my mouth.
So basically, you got overexcited.
I was overstimulated, yes, by the clap. Yes. Yep. That's how things are going right now.
Well,
so how's it going for you?
Pretty good. I can't complain.
Complaining will get us nowhere.
Exactly. It really will. I mean, really, listeners, it does. Complaining gets you nowhere. It just makes you look bad. But then again, on this show, we do a lot of complaining.
Yeah, but, you know, eventually, the complaining eventually leads somewhere, because we know that, you know, they're listening. We know that they're listening. Proof of concept is a Connor victory moving right on to Alexa's moment of bliss, and I'm like, could they have just, like, wrote, like, really small on the screen at the bottom, this is for you guys. Like, they could have done that.
That was a perfect transition. It took everything in me when you sent that yesterday not to start laughing out loud at work. I was like, oh my God, that is the perfect transition. It's almost like a nod to our show. Speaking of which, probably we should greet our first-time listeners and kind of explain to them what this show is, because I'm sure right now they're very confused. All right, so first-time listeners, welcome to our show. We actually talk about all things wrestling as well as a few other tangents here and there. This week, we're going to preview Super Showdown for you, give our predictions, and I also have a lot of busy non-WWE stuff to go over with you. Let's just say there's a lot going on in the independent scene right now, and of course we have our weekly segments for you as well. But before we do any of that, Kent, moment of bliss?
Yeah, before I hit that up, I'm going to talk quickly about something that I'm working on, the website's working on. Basically, listeners, I just got hit up with a really big bill for the website, for ninedeuce.com, and financially, I don't make money off this website. I refuse to put up ads because I feel ads only, like, piss people off. Like, I'm not in the business of pissing people off. I may be a rude douchebag, but I'm not in the business of pissing people off. So I don't ever do ads. I don't make anything from this site. I am doing a GoFundMe, which I've never done. I don't really like the idea, but it's kind of like an evil necessity. When you go visit our podcast or any of our blogs this month, we're going to do it for the month of October. We're just trying to raise, I think it's like $400. I think we're trying to raise $400 to keep Nine Deuce up running, pay for the fees throughout the year. It kind of helps with malware, keeps everything working really well so you can have a pleasant experience reading and or listening to anything that we do. And like I said, it will be in any of the blogs and like in the description of the podcast, so there will be a link. It's called keep9deuce.com alive. That is what the fund me is. So, yeah. With that being said, I will cut my moment of bliss a little short this week and just say that since it's October, I've not only had many issues with the website, because that's what happens in October the past 2 years, I've also got a chance to watch some interesting horror flicks. Yesterday, I saw Blackula for the first time, and I can already guess that Carrie has never seen Blackula, and if anybody here would have seen it, it would have been me. Interesting for a 1972 movie. It's like, I don't feel like today's millennial snowflakes make fun with whatever term you want. The softies of the world, they could not handle this particular film with the amount of offensive language in this. With that being said, it was interesting because, like, you don't think of a Dracula film as, like, a romance, right? But there was a lot of romance to it. It was actually almost like a classic romance film more than a horror. So it was really good. There was a lot of good scenes to it. I came across a movie that I'm watching after this called Pizza. And we all know pizza is a favorite thing of mine, and it's a horror film involving, like, ghosts and a pizza delivery guy, and it's made in India. And I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. It got a decent review on IMDb, so going to give that a shot. I rewatched Nudist Colony of the Dead, which is, like, low-budget malarkey show quality, but with singing and dancing, and it's really weird, but if anybody has Amazon Prime, it's free. Nudist Colony of the Dead. Shock your system. But just not like, you know, the, what is it, Undisputed Era?
Yes.
Shock the system. Yeah. Yeah, this is better than they are. So much better.
A lot of things are better than that group of gentlemen.
You know, I feel that group has really made me not like watching NXT. Like, since they came aboard, I find it a struggle to get through a lot of episodes of NXT. I just do. I wish it was different, but that's a whole other gripe for another time. Like, that actually is a podcast unto itself, like, talking about NXT and, like, I don't know. I definitely think it's gone downhill. But, you know, that'd be a good discussion at some point. Anyway, all of these horror movies and much more. I'm just finishing up Nails today. I watched The Ritual today. Very good movie on Netflix. Highly, highly recommend it. So next week, I'll have more horror stuff for people that don't care about horror, because you're here to talk about wrestling, and I'm here to talk about horror sometimes. That's my moment of bliss.
Nice. That pizza ghost delivery guy, that movie, that sounds really interesting.
I started watching it, and then, like, I had other things I was working on the computer, and because you know, it's all subtitled, I couldn't do both, so I'm like, I'll hold off until I get, you know, where I can actually just focus strictly on the TV. So I don't know, next week remind me, ask me how it was. I'll let everybody know whether it was good or not, but so far, like, I think I watched about, like, 6 minutes of it, and I had a good time with it. I see potential. That's best I can offer. And I had pizza night.
Ah, there you go. Well, listeners, more to come in that movie, because I like you guys, I'm curious about it as well. The whole concept very intrigues me a lot. And you know what else intrigues me, listeners? The card for Super Showdown. Let's jump right into the matches, shall we? We have the first matchup. We have Asuka and Naomi versus the Iconics. I have a feeling the Iconics are picking up the win, only because there are hometown girls for this event. I don't know. I mean, I'm hesitant to say that because we know what WWE likes to do with hometown individuals, but I'm going to put my backing behind Peyton and Billie Kay. What do you think, Kent?
I believe there's two matches on the card and featuring Australians, right?
Yes.
Cruiserweight. Okay. So, because of that, I definitely feel that the Iconics are going to eat this loss, but they're going to entertain the hell out of the fans. I would love to see them win. Obviously, I'd love to see them win. I just don't. Out of the two Aussie acts, this one seems the one more destined to lose. And it'll be fine either way. Those girls are going out having the time of their life. Or at least that's how they look. Every time they come out, they look like they're having so much fun. So, I'm cool. I'm cool either way, but I do think Asuka and Naomi is going to pick up the win. Peyton looked great in her match this week. I don't know if you actually watched the match, but that was actually a good women's match.
I did not see all of it. I mean, I saw some highlights, and yeah, I agree, but yeah, I didn't get to see all of it.
She has a very unique wrestling style. Initially, I was a bigger fan of Billy, and then Peyton just, I don't know, kind of, it clicked for her, and now I think I prefer her in ring. I like both, but I think I prefer her in ring. I prefer Billy on the mic, though. So, they both bring something great to the table. I'm curious, do you think Asuka and or Naomi will get booed? Like, they're very over acts, but...
Doubtful. I mean, usually, no, maybe not. I have a feeling this is going to be a match where the crowd really isn't on anybody's side. They're just going to enjoy it.
I could see a lot of crowd chanting during this match. I just hope that the crowd's good and not shitty.
Oh, yay, random chanting crowd. I love those.
Yay.
Those are also supposedly my brethren, and I do not agree with any of them.
Yeah, it's like one of those times when, like, something really dumb happens in wrestling, and you're like, nope, not going to admit to being a wrestling fan today. Maybe tomorrow.
I'm still wondering if I'm going to admit I'm a wrestling fan after this cruise.
I can't wait for the podcast after that, just because... Wait, are you going to be missing a podcast?
I will be, because my flight, I believe, gets in at like 5 o'clock on that Wednesday.
All right, so by then, I'm pretty sure we'll have Russ anyway, so that'll work. Yeah, I'm kind of curious about the podcast when you return. I want so many stories of how awful human beings are. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, if StarCast was any indication, there were actual threads on Reddit about personal hygiene. That scares me.
Oh, God. All right. So, really, I'm looking forward to not only the podcast, the inevitable text I'll be getting throughout the cruise, perhaps. So,
provided I can get Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing, isn't it? Huh.
Yep. International waters. There's no cell phone service out there.
Damn you pirates out there. Like, set some fucking cell towers up or some shit, man.
Exactly. I mean, what's wrong with them?
I don't know.
All right. So, next up we have the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, New Day versus The Bar. I just don't foresee them taking the belts off New Day. I did enjoy the segment this week. I just wish they actually taught me how to make pancakes. I really wanted Mr. Bootyworth to teach me. What were your thoughts?
Have you ever made pancakes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I wanted the New Day to teach me.
I've never made pancakes ever in my life. I'll give you a more startling fact. I have never once in a day made eggs. Like, the most basic concept of all things, I've never made eggs a day in my life.
Really? That is so interesting.
I usually blow people's mind with that little tidbit, because I don't really eat eggs hardly ever. Like, ever since I had the gastric bypass, like, it kills my stomach. And prior to that, I just didn't eat eggs all that much anyway. So it was like one of those things that I can do all kinds of other complex stuff, but eggs, never tried it. I'm sure it's easy, just never done it. All I can think of when thinking about this match is, well, I'm left with two thoughts or three thoughts. What does Mr. Bootyworth's voice sound like? What the fuck did they actually ever do with The Bar since they've been on SmackDown? And where the hell is Luke Harper? Like, I get it. He's not tag teaming. That's fine, although I still say him and Bray should be a team. But I get both tag divisions right now are pretty stacked. They would kind of go nowhere. But their mid-card is completely depleted. Like, Luke Harper got over at one point. Like, we remember this. Like, this happened like a year and a half ago. Luke Harper was over as a singles star. Main event, like, in main event segments and stuff.
What? It was the greatest time ever. It seriously was. We, on this podcast, just enjoyed that storyline so much, and then they just dropped it. Like everything else, it's good.
It's mind-numbing. But anyway, back to the match. I don't really see a rhyme and reason of taking it off of New Day. That's a problem, though, with the SmackDown tag division. You don't have... Is it just me, or does everybody seem like they're floating in, like, the sea of mediocrity? Nobody's really above each other to a big degree. I mean, aside from Gallows and Anderson, who really do belong on milk cartons at this point, because I don't know where they are.
Who?
Yeah. I every once in a while, I'm like, did they sign with New Japan, and I just didn't hear about it? I've been wondering this, but I see they're
still on. I haven't seen them. There would be lots of, like, Bullet Club people just so happy if they went back.
And for that reason alone, I don't want them to be happy, but simultaneously, I just want WWE to utilize them. Like, I really want... I still say, like, Gallows is a good in-ring hand. I actually think Carl Anderson, given the right push, could be at least a mid-card superstar. I legitimately think so.
I mean, at one point, he was a singles wrestler. I mean, the guy has competed in the G1. I forgot how far he went, but he's competed in the G1. That's not a hard, an easy tournament to compete in.
We've seen him in, like, singles action in the past, and he's really done some great things. I would like to see more of it. I don't know. With that being said, I can't sit here and say, like, as much as I like the Bar. Like, next week, if the Bar won this match, next week would we be jumping for joy or anything? Like, there'd be no real celebration. We'd be still kind of stuck at the exact same spot we are now. There's really no upward or downward movement. So New Day wins because they're good ambassadors.
Yeah, really, I think that's a safe bet. That's a really safe bet. All right, let's jump into this next match. We have John Cena and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Elias. Before we get to this match, let's talk about that segment on Monday Night Raw. Oh my gosh, I've never heard a crowd reaction like that. I literally expected them to just continue to move up the ramp and out the door. That's basically, listeners, that's what you call getting booed out of the building. That was brutal. What were your thoughts?
It was one of those things that at first I was just like, yeah, of course they're gonna get booed, and then it just kept going and going, and because I'm an NBA fan, I know the whole freaking story. Like, they were lied to so badly by Clay Bennett, who took over ownership. He said that they were going to do everything to stay in Seattle and stuff. All the while, he lived in Oklahoma City. Like, that was always the plan. So, like, they were lied. They were so mistreated. So, like, it was such a hot-button issue that, you know, normally you come out and you have a guy like Elias insult the local sports team and it gets a boo for, what, 10 seconds and then it's gone? This hit home. Brian Alvarez that said he hasn't heard a boo like that ever? I think it was him.
I believe so, yeah.
So that's saying something. And my only gripe is when you are getting that much heat, maybe you say, hold off on the commercial for a few minutes. Let's see how far we can go. If we have to cut a match or a backstage segment a little bit later on, so be it. I mean, it's not like they don't have... I don't know, I feel like they have carte blanche on USA where they can go, you know, 3 minutes over or 17 minutes over. Like, I don't think it really matters that much. So when you have a reaction like that, I don't want to say it's like a once-in-a-lifetime, but it's one of the biggest reactions. Maybe you don't send Leo Rush out immediately. Maybe you just keep milking it for all that it's worth. And I don't know. That's just my thought on that particular segment. I thought it was magic. Loved it.
Well, I have a feeling they cut that because they didn't want them getting that quote-unquote over.
Oh, yeah, because if you're not involved in a S.H.I.E.L.D. storyline on Raw, fuck you.
I mean, Pretty much. I am so sick of the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Dude. Hey! Yeah.
Oh, well, back to this match. So John Cena and Nikki Bella are going to be in the same building. Do you think that means they're going to be getting back together? Because I heard a rumor that they're actually still together.
Oh, the Total Bellas cameras will be rolling. That is a fact. Oh, God. I just despise... I shouldn't be angry that John Cena's in this match. Like, it's a nothing match. But I am kind of angry because we already have enough part-timers on this show. Cena has not been around since Mania, has he?
No, and have you seen him lately? He's like half the man he used to be.
Huh. I believe I heard Scott Weiland say that like 25 years ago in a song called Creep.
Too soon.
Just saying. Cena's not very, he may keep his shirt on for all we know. He's going to look so tiny next to Lashley, but he's going to look tiny compared to Elias. Like, a lot of people don't give Elias credit. That dude's pretty freaking jacked, actually. I don't know. It should be a fun match. I think Elias and KO are probably going to get on the mic and try to really piss off the crowd again. That's my hope. It should be a fun match. I don't really think there's any way Cena and Lashley are losing, though.
Oh, God, no.
There's no reason.
No, John Cena wins, send the fans home happy, because that's what's going to send the fans home happy.
At least he has three times the amount of moves that Roman Reigns does.
This is true.
And sad.
Speaking of the Bella Twins, next match we have Ronda Rousey and the Bella Twins versus the Riot Squad. I want to know the over under and how many botches we're going to get from Brie Bella. And I figure Ronda and the Bella Twins are winning this. Nikki's going to turn on Ronda and set up their matchup for Evolution, and no one's going to care. What do you think, Kent?
Last Wednesday on American Horror Story, we finally got the tie-in to Coven, where they brought back three of the witches. And it was like this beautiful moment where, like, they just minutes earlier had basically killed off almost everybody aside from the potential Antichrist. And all of a sudden, like, you see outside the building that they're in, the fallout shelter, you see these three silhouettes and they have Rolling Stones, She's a Rainbow playing. It was like this beautiful moment. And then you finally get to see who they are, and then they come in and all sorts of cool shit happens. And that's the last time I saw three women doing something really cool that made me happy. This is not going to change that opinion at all. If we said botch for everybody involved in the match, I would give it a straight up 5 and still take the over. That's where I'm at, and I would say only one botch at most from the Riot Squad. At most.
So basically what you're saying is respecting 4 botches from Botch Bella.
Is Liv cleared for this match?
I have no clue. You would think that they would be very hesitant to put her in the ring right now. I doubt she's completely healthy.
She shouldn't even really be traveling. In all honesty, with head issue like that, the pressure could, like, if she has like any lingering head issues right now, flying is going to be awful for her. That's a long ass trip.
Yeah, I think it's like what, 14 hours?
Yeah, like I'm really surprised that they didn't call an audible and you know, just throw like Foxy into the mix or somebody like that. Mickey, I guess, would also be a viable candidate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, you have other heels that could do something. Or just make it a tag match and just get Botch Bella, you know, not in the ring. She don't even need to get on the plane. It's cool. Brie, if you want to stay home, it's okay. Like, I know you feel important and everything, but it's okay. You can stay at home. Nobody's going to miss you. It's okay.
Or jump on a plane to Orlando, go to the Performance Center, and train this weekend.
I would like her to botch with Shayna Baszler on a bad day when Shayna was just, like, pissed off.
God, Shayna will kill her.
Right, like, I'm okay with everything that you just said. I was thinking about this last night in the shower, which I think weird shit in the shower, but I was like, all right, if you analyze wrestlers, we've talked about this before. We've talked about, you know, we talk about mic skills, we talk about charisma, we talk about in-ring skills, and I'll add a fourth thing, entrance music. Now, we look at Brie Bella, and I say, on the mic, is she one of the absolute worst people currently on the roster? Yes. Does she have the absolute worst entrance song on the roster? Yes. Is she possibly the worst in-ring person on the roster? Daniel Bryan? Yes. All right. So the only thing she really brings is her, like, hackneyed charisma, which, even if you say that she has some charisma, that's all that she brings to the table other than Brian, Daniel's wife. Like, if she had a score on WWE 2K19 and they were being honest, would she have higher than a 3 out of 100?
Probably not. But they're not going to be honest, obviously.
She probably has like a 78 or some garbage or higher.
That's just disappointing.
Do you think, now, is it just going to be Nikki that turns, or, I mean, do you think Bree's going to, like, be involved in, like, a beatdown?
Probably. I mean, they do things together.
Sexually, most, yes. Good for Cena. God, I kind of fear for Ronda's safety then, too, but Bree does not want to botch against Ronda either.
Ronda. There's four women right now in WWE, either on the main roster or in NXT. I would not, if I were her, I would not botch. And they all happen to be friends.
Yeah, yeah, like, Brie, really, don't get on the plane. And if you do, make sure that, like, you're only, like, throwing, like, fake punches or clotheslines that don't ever touch Ronda. Because, god damn it, that will hurt you really bad.
Yeah, you will die.
And, quite frankly, that is one of the few attractions that if you fucked with, WWE would consider being mad. Like, right now, she's pretty untouchable. But Ronda is one of their biggest assets. Imagine if Brie hurt her.
She's done.
Yeah.
You don't hurt the cash cow. You just don't.
Yeah. And in all honesty, Ronda's she's done really good for what she's been asked to do.
She's improved a lot. I think on Monday we may have seen what her finisher is going to be. It looks good. It's a little sloppy, but it looks good.
What was that?
It was that one move she did right before she did the armbar that ended it.
Is it like a twist thing? Like a swinging move? Okay. Yeah, a good chance of it. I fast-forwarded, believe it or not.
Oh, I'm not shocked by that at all.
Yeah.
All right, here's a match that could steal the show. Let's talk about the Cruiserweight Championship match. Yes, there are still Cruiserweights in WWE.
Really?
I know, I'm just as shocked as you are. We have Cedric Alexander, who's still champ, apparently, versus Buddy Murphy. You know, Mr. Alexa Bliss. They're still together, right?
I hope for his sake. Wait, no, boo that man immediately, I want my chance.
You and about 500 million other men.
I will fight them all to the death, meaning that I will die pretty quickly, and I'm good with that. I'm a gravestone, fought to nail Alexa Bliss. I'm good with that.
All right, so here's my thoughts on this match. Not that I know anything that's going on in the cruiserweight division. However, Buddy Murphy's been doing some pretty damn good wrestling on 205 Live. Not that anybody's been there to see it. Which begs the question if it actually really happened. But with that said, I think he could be a good choice for the belt. What do you think?
Well, I mean, they've had numerous guys that were good choices, and then they gave it to TJP initially. We haven't heard that name in a while. It's been about 2 months.
And all the people who dab out there are crying right now.
Good, they should. You should be ashamed of yourself if you dab, okay? Shit. But, I mean, like, think about it. Even, like, Aries never even got the damn belt when he was there. I mean, fuck, man. Akira Tozawa, was he ever champ? Like, did he beat... Who beat Enzo ever so briefly for, like, a week or something? Can't remember if it was Tozawa or not.
I think so.
So he kind of held Itami's... Is Itami still in WWE, or did he go back to Japan?
He's still there, but has done basically nothing.
He must hate life for giving up his great name, Kenta, which... I've never been so excited about a guy from Asia coming to America, hearing, hey, guy named Kenta's coming. Awesome. 100% behind him. Oh, he's injured all the time. Yeah, it's time for Cedric's reign. Like, he's a good in-ring hand. He deserved the belt at Mania. I was happy with it, but he's not interesting. Like, he really doesn't have... He's all in ring and very little charisma. That's all. Like, he needed a mouthpiece. When he had Foxy, it actually wasn't so bad, but... Eh. I think this is your send the crowd happy moment. Honestly, it would be kind of cool if they kind of kept this until the main event. I know they won't, but it'd be really cool if they kept it for the main event and really, like, got a huge pop at the end.
It'd be nice. It'll never happen.
Opening match, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Is there a pre-show? Because that will probably be where they shove this match.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they... I don't know. Are we at the halfway point?
We are.
Carrie, I want to eat a few Frosted Mini Wheats. Why don't you take us to your corner?
Okay, but I have to say, I can't even walk in there this week. I have so much to talk about. It's like, here's a doorway, there's boxes outside. That's how bad it is in my corner right now. All right, listeners, here's the rundown. I have Death Before Dishonor results. I have Fighting Spirit Unleashed results. I have breaking news out of Japan results. And I have your preview and for King of Pro Wrestling this Monday. All right, first, let's go with the breaking news coming out of Japan right now. Dragon Gate. Neville Naupack has returned to pro wrestling. Right now, it looks like Neville will be with Dragon Gate for the time being. Moving on to the results from Death Before Dishonor that occurred last Friday evening in Vegas. First matchup, we had Kenny King versus Jushin Thunder Liger. Kenny King picked up the win. Ring of Honor tag team titles, we had the Briscoes versus SoCal Uncensored, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. Briscoes retained. Women of Honor championship, Sumi Sakai versus Tennille Dashwood. Sumi Sakai retained. And the sad news out of that match is Tennille's out for the next 6 months or more with a shoulder injury that's going to require surgery. Moving on to the Ring of Honor TV title match. Punishment Martinez versus Chris Sabin. Punishment Martinez retained, only to drop the title to Jeff Cobb at the TV taping the next night. Punishment Martinez may or may not be WWE bound. Moving on to the next match, we got Flip Gordon and Colt Cabana versus Bully Ray and Silas Young. Bully Ray and Silas Young picked up the win in this match. Next matchup, we had the 10-man tag team match. Bullet Club, Cody, Young Bucks, Marty Scurll, and Hangman Page versus Chaos, Okada, Ishii, Rocky Romero, Trent Beretta, and Chucky T. Bullet Club picked up the win. No shockers there. Now, for the Ring of Honor Championship match, we had Jay Lethal versus Will Ospreay. Jay Lethal retained.
Did you actually watch this?
I did not.
I read in depth about it. There was only a couple of matches that actually sounded really watchable to me. I don't know. It didn't sound like an overwhelming card, honestly.
The general consensus on basically Reddit, because that's the only place I go to get my kind of like discussions now, was I think the fans are getting kind of sick of them not doing all their title changes at TV tapings and not doing them at pay-per-views. It just doesn't make that much sense. But from what I heard, the Jay Lethal Will Ospreay match was pretty damn good.
Well, yeah, I would imagine that match would have intrigued me. I would have seen the Briscoes match, and the Bully Ray one, I think I would have enjoyed a little bit, because I still like his work. But
and it was a tables match, so he was completely in his wheelhouse.
It was an elimination tables match, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's even cooler, in my opinion. So, moving on.
Yep, moving on to Fighting Spirit Unleashed. First matchup, we had ACH, Jushin Thunder Liger, Tajuchi versus Roppongi 3K, ACH and company picked up the win. Next matchup, we had Chase Owens and Hangman Page versus Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian picked up the win. Next matchup, we had Beretta, Chucky T, and Hirooki Goto versus Chris Sabin, Flip Gordon, and Jeff Cobb. Chris Sabin, Flip Gordon, and Jeff Cobb picked up the win. It looks like we're going to get Goto versus Cobb at some point, probably for the never open weight. Next matchup, we have Evil and Sonata and Tetsuya Naito versus Davey Boy Smith Jr., Lance Archer, and Zack Sabre Jr. Davey Boy Smith Jr., Lance Archer, and Zack Sabre Jr. picked up the win. Next matchup, we had Gedo and Switchblade Jay White versus Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kushida. Gedo and Switchblade Jay White picked up the win. So far, only pick I got right in this whole entire show. Moving on next to the Junior Heavyweight Championship Tournament semifinal match between Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay. Marty Scurll picked up the win. Moving on to the IWGP Tag Team Championship match, we had the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa versus the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson. Gorillas of Destiny are your new IWGP Tag Team Champions.
Match of the year.
Only because the Young Bucks lost, right?
You're damn right.
Well, here's one that's going to make you even happier or not. I'm not sure considering the individuals involved. Next up, we have the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship, Cody Rhodes versus Juice Robinson. Cody picks up the win and is your new IWGP United States Champion.
I totally am behind that as well.
Okay. Very good. Very good. And kind of shocking, actually. Next up, we had our main event. We had Kazuchika Okada and Tomohiro Ishii versus the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. As predicted on this on last week's podcast, Golden Lovers picked up the win. And now, here is your card for King of Pro Wrestling. That occurs this Monday, October 8th. Pretty early in the morning for all of you in the United States. First matchup, we have Jushin Thunder Liger and Tiger Mask 4 versus El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. I didn't even know that was still a thing. That hasn't been defended in so long. Next matchup, we have Togi Makabe and Tamaki Honma versus Juice Robinson and Toa Henare. I see Juice Robinson and Toa Henare get picking up the win, but I don't know. Next up, we got Bullet Club, Chase Owens, Hangman Page, and the Young Bucks versus the Firing Squad, otherwise known as the BCOGs, Bad Luck Fale, Taiji Ichimori, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa. I see the Firing Squad slash the OGs picking up the win here. We have Goto, Ishii, and Ofspree versus Suzuki, Tai Chi, and Lily Zuka. I see Chaos, Goto, Ishii, and Ofspree winning this one. Next up, we have Okada, Sho, and Yo, and Toru Yano versus basically everybody from LIJ, Bushi, Sonata, Tetsuya Naito, and question mark. Basically, there was an announcement made earlier this week that there is a new LIJ member on the horizon. No one knows who it is, but there's a lot of speculation. Moving on to the next matchup, we have Evil versus Zack Sabre Jr. I see Evil picking up the win in this one. Next, we have the finals for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. We have Kushida versus Marty Scurll. I see them putting the belt on Kushida. Next, we have the G1 Climax 28 winners contract match between Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Switchblade Jay White. I don't foresee them taking Tanahashi out of the main event for Wrestle Kingdom, so I say he retains the briefcase. Next up, we have a triple threat match for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship between Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, and Kota Ibushi. This should steal the show, folks, and probably will be worth getting up early in the morning for. Actually, the last three matches I just talked about, Kushida versus Skrull, Tanahashi versus White, Rhodes versus Omega versus Ibushi, those are your matches of the night for this show and worth getting up at probably 5, 6 o'clock in the morning for. And that is everything in my corner. As I said, lots in my corner.
It's good that Russ isn't here, or else I would have had like 3 minutes of talk time. That would just be crazy. You know what, though? I'm listening to everything you're saying, right? And in my mind, because I listen to when you run down these cards, WWE takes so much shit when they make a card and they try to get as many people on it. What the fuck are these cards? They're all the same. You have all these multi-man matches, and these indie promotions don't get shit. I think it's a weird double standard. Would you not agree with that, at the very least?
I completely agree. Again, please, don't lump me in with those people.
I wanted to get your input on this, because I feel it's like a ridiculous double standard that WWE always takes shit for trying to get as many people on a show, which I don't blame them for, but yet nobody, it's like, it's one of those things where it's so easy to criticize the popular thing, but the trendy thing in, you know, within a certain group of people, you know, you can't say a negative thing about it. It's like, they're doing the same fucking thing. It's not like it's a bad thing, but, you know, I mean, it's just a weird thing, because clearly, I think, like, the first 5 or 6 matches that you listed on that last card were all, like, 20-man fuckaroos.
Pretty much, and that's the majority of shows for New Japan. It starts off with all these multi-man tags, and then you get into basically what are considered the main events, which actually have some of the focus on the titles. But in today's wrestling fandom, the people who are just hardcore right now into hating everything non-WWE, I mean, everything WWE, let me rephrase that. They're seeing the same things. They're seeing kind of the same people. It's the same situations, but they're not going to fault them for it. I mean, I agree with you, because it's a non-WWE promotion doing it.
Yeah, that's the only difference. I mean, it's no different. I mean, if we go back to the Attitude Era when ECW would do something fucking stupid, people wouldn't admit to it. They were just like, nah, it's WWE's fault. Whatever, you know, like, they'd find fault. It's like, No, it's okay. Like, it's okay sometimes to like the popular thing, or sometimes it's okay to criticize the thing that you're backing. It's okay, but indie wrestling fans are some of the worst humans on this planet. They're very irrational to deal with. What's
they
good?
They scare me.
I look forward to the Cruise podcast.
Oh, if I have anything remotely close to Wi-Fi, I have a feeling you and Russ are getting messaged.
I hope so.
I think my whole thing is that we're complaining about the Shield. Everything being about the Shield. But look at Ring of Honor and New Japan.
With the Bullet Club?
Yeah. Right. I mean, I understand, yes, that's where their bread is buttered right now. That's what's popular. That's what's getting eyeballs on the product. But still, it's the same. To your point, it's the same thing.
And it's no different when people point to the NWO being the downfall. It was like the rise and the downfall of WCW because they rode that thing like we rode Paige into the fucking ground. And at some point or another, they've got to make something. They've got to. I think they'll be more capable of making something new, but at some point or another, they have to say enough. Like, we can do some reunion stuff down the road, but for right now, like, they need a new top group, in my opinion. Like, how long's Bullet Club been going? 3-4 years now?
5. They just had their 5-year anniversary at Wrestling Dontaku.
Right. And yet, indie fans will defend that to their death, but still say NWO had a huge part in killing WCW. And NWO was, what, 3 years? 4 years? Like, facts are facts, people. Just say.
I mean, my stance on this right now is, I mean, really, the group of guys that are known as the BC Elite, they're the elite. They have their YouTube show. I mean, the group, you have the Young Bucks, Kenny, Cody, Hangman, Marty. That is the elite. Call yourselves that. Just come up, be a new faction. Doesn't matter who owns the rights to it. Just have that be the faction. Drop the Bullet Club name. The thing is that because of marketing reasons and the fact that that half of the group is making a ton of money for New Japan on the Bullet Club name, they're not dropping that anytime soon, at least for not for New Japan. I mean, you don't see, no offense to Tama Tonga or, you know, that group, but they're not putting eyes on the product. Yeah, I mean, Bullet Club fans love Tama. A lot of them wanted him to be leader. But really, to his point, there was never a leader of the Bullet Club to begin with. Yes, there was a focus point. I mean, you had Prince Devitt or Finn Balor. You had AJ. It wasn't really, and I hate to do this because he's my favorite wrestler, but Kenny really did kill the Bullet Club.
Well, to keep using the NWO thing, it was never like they were going to have like the Wolfpack be Hogan, Hall, Nash, and say Steiner, and then be like, oh, and Black and White's going to be Buff Bagwell, Scott Norton, Virgil, like. They had to share, you know, when they separated, at least they were smart in that one regard and the fact that they kind of split the power. And that's something I think, to your point, I think that's something that they're going to have to do. They're going to have to split the power when the group eventually breaks up to an extent, because you just can't have just the elite because the other ones are going to get left in the dust.
Well, I mean, earlier this year, they were headed towards where Cody jump ship, left the face side of the group and joined the heel side of the group, but that all changed at the G1 special.
Do you think they got cold feet, or do you think that was the idea all along?
I think that was the idea all along.
Was it a good idea?
No.
No.
Not at all. Given the level of heel tactics that Cody used this Fighting Spirit Unleashed, and the fact that he's been basically a heel all year? No. It was a bad call. Bad call.
And to go back to my favorite Cody insult of all time, hey, Hogan versus Rock was the greatest match of all time, and you're an idiot if you don't agree with Cody Rhodes. Yep. And this is why. Still way happier that he beat Juice Robinson. Or is fighting Juice Robinson. Did he beat him or fight? Is fighting him?
He beat him.
Okay, fantastic. And still, like, through all my bitterness, I can still say I'm happy for Cody Rhodes in that one particular instance.
He is the most decorated guy in the indies right now.
Of course he is. He's a Rhodes. Just think about how different it'd be if, I mean, obviously it'd be so different, but like, if there was like this kind of movement 20 years ago and Dustin had done what Cody did. Like, Dustin would have been, I mean, Christ, he's still going. He's an all-time great. Like, people may not think about Goldust in that way. He's an all-timer. He could have been just as decorated. It's just, it was kind of the wrong era for it. Cody's in the right era to kind of do it, and he's doing it. So, kudos in some regards to him. Some.
Yep. All right, let's get back to Super Showdown, shall we? Let's talk about the SmackDown Women's Championship. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair. I pray to the wrestling gods or whoever will listen to my plea. Please keep the belt on Becky Lynch. She is doing great things with it. And her character is amazing right now. With that said, why do I have a feeling we're going to see that belt back on Flair? What do you think, Kent?
Well, this Sunday, Walking Dead's going to be airing its final episodes of Rick Grimes. So I'll be tuning in for that. I have that horrible, horrible feeling. And I'm pretty sure every time I get that horrible feeling, I've been right on this podcast. I have that fucking feeling that they're going to do the one thing that can completely derail the SmackDown Women's Division right now. Becky is so on fire. And this is why we said that Charlotte should have gotten the win at, what was it, Hell in a Cell. So this could have been they did this the wrong order, and now Charlotte's going to be your heel champion. And it's going to be so foolish. On the plus side, the announcers have no longer decided to come up with random excuses for Charlotte. They're just kind of like silent and just like let stuff go, which is nice. Like, they're not trying to shove it down our throats anymore because they're just like, yeah, the fans are not buying this crap, which is nice because WWE does not like to admit to these things. This was kind of them admitting it, though, right? Becky's so over right now. The only thing we have going for us, and it goes back to the old rule, Charlotte had the upper hand on SmackDown. Possibly a good sign. I hope.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
Is there a better act? Honestly, I don't want to follow as much stuff. I don't think there's a better act going than Becky right now as far as feel-good story goes.
No, there isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one that comes close, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Of course.
But, yeah, this is, you know, this is it. This is a storyline. They need to keep both parties doing what they're doing.
This is one of those few storylines that's completely relatable. This is the last. I don't remember if there's been a storyline since Daniel Bryan at Mania for WrestleMania 30 that felt this relatable that everybody could get behind. And it was like the same thing that got Stone Cold where he was. Wasn't because he was a great wrestler or a great talker. Those things all helped, but the story was so goddamn relatable. That's all. Sometimes they forget, like, sometimes you just gotta make people relatable. Honestly.
Exactly.
Go on.
All right. So one of the storylines I alluded to. I think that's the word I was looking for. I'm coming up with bad poor word choice tonight.
Oh my goodness, this is getting good.
Okay, I think I've turned into Botchvella.
Remote. So what were you alluding to with your good grammar?
What? Okay, we finally may or may not have gotten the answer to what happened in Milwaukee. Or Milwaukee, for those of you Wayne's World fans out there. And let's talk about that segment, shall we? In our segment, Were You Not Entertained? Listeners, each week we pick a segment, either on Raw or SmackDown, and we discuss whether or not we were entertained by it. This week, as I said, we chose the big reveal of what happened in Milwaukee. And we found out that Lana wants something, and it has to do with Aiden. At least I think, I don't know. That video really cut out at the wrong time. I think if the whole thing fell flat for me. What did you think? I was not entertained. What about you, Kent?
In her own words, she said, "Aiden, I want you." Those were the exact words, right?
Now that you mention it, there was a "you" in there.
That was the final word. Aiden, yeah. I want you. And then, I don't know, like, something happened with the editing, I don't know, but Aiden's going to make a good chunk off of TMZ, hopefully, because Gawker's no longer around, brother. You know, it's amazing how WWE has this way of taking something that they have so much freaking momentum behind. All you had to do was watch SmackDown last week and see the crowd was so invested in this. I don't think I heard a single Milwaukee chant after that video.
Nope. No. It fell so flat.
And Lana got booed after Rusev kind of jogged toward Aiden. Yeah, like, this is one of those things that you can't just string along. If you're going to say, next week I have a video, prove it. Just, this is one of the few times WWE blow your load and then go from there, like, right off of this. But this was your moment. This actually, I thought, could have very well been the main event segment. And I'm glad it wasn't, because I don't think anybody watching at home, anybody was entertained. I was not. But in the back of my head, I'm like, how can the crowd go from Lana is the best, Lana number one? Like, I was trying to, like, come up with, like, a catchy way for them to do it. Some indie fan city will come up with it. I have faith in the neckbeards of the world.
As do I. They are very creative people.
And they have good hygiene.
No, they don't.
Okay, I lied.
Hey, I'm just going by what I read online during All In weekend. I'm sorry, when they post a thread in Reddit saying, please use soap and deodorant, and post a video of Stone Cold Steve Austin talking about things, personal hygiene things, you got a problem. Just saying.
I am waiting for one of the messages we get back from Carrie to be like, I cannot get the stench of BO from my nostrils at this moment, no matter what I do. It's permeating inside of my brain. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that very message, and I'm just going to be like, yeah, okay.
You and Russ are going to get a lot of messages to say, oh dear God, please send help.
Yeah, you might have to hit Kofi Kingston's finisher. You might need to send out a little SOS. I don't know.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I'm scared, but I also know it's going to be hopefully a great time. I'm just going to have to ignore the people.
Yeah.
And with that said, let's move on down the card for Super Showdown. We have Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. And apparently this is a number one contendership match. I completely forgot about that stipulation. I have a feeling Miz is going to win this one, but I don't know. What do you think, Kent?
Last I saw, Daniel was favored to win by the bettors, and I thought that was very strange, because the whole storyline is that Daniel's not willing to do what's necessary to beat The Miz. I like that. I like the idea of the story, but I'm so sick of these two now, because their first match was, as we've talked about, Daniel's whole run has just been kind of blah. And Daniel's not bringing anything to the table here in this feud, in my opinion. Miz, once again, is proving to be one of the five most valuable commodities that WWE has and never gets enough love. Like, he carries feuds by himself. He just needs a body to work with, which is really impressive. And yet, I still don't care about this. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Because everybody's like, oh, we want a dream match of Daniel and AJ. Is that a dream match to you anymore?
No. 5 years ago, maybe. Now, like, not at all.
Like, how is that a dream match, but Joe versus AJ isn't? Because to me, Joe versus AJ is far more of a dream match currently in this current WWE landscape than Daniel versus AJ. Like, I'll go so far as to ask you this. What's more of a dream match for you? AJ versus Daniel or AJ versus HB Old?
Neither. Daniel Bryan, I think, has... I just don't think that he... I just don't think he has it anymore. And I don't think... Physically, I think he does. I think it's a mental block. And after what I saw on Monday night, oh dear God, no, HBK should not be in a ring anymore. Please stay retired, for the love of God.
I'll still take HBK and AJ versus Daniel and AJ. Honestly, there's one person that I expect to be able to rise to the occasion no matter what for some odd reason, and Daniel's not it. The thing is, though, do you really care about a Miz versus Styles feud? Does that interest you?
No, not at all.
See, like, that's the thing. Like, to me, I'd rather actually have Joe versus Daniel for the championship feud than Miz versus AJ. So in the weirdest way, I'm kind of cheering on Daniel because that means, in my eyes, that maybe Joe wins. But I think we're going to get Miz versus AJ, so I'm picking Miz.
All right, well, let's talk about that match now, shall we? We got the WWE Championship match, AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe. No disqualification, no count out. Or should I just dub this the Daddy's Home match?
Why wasn't this a Buried Alive match? Like, based on the promo, I was like, wait, did they change this to a Buried Alive match?
It's funny you mentioned that. So, Eric and I watched the beginning of Raw, not Raw, SmackDown last night. And they started talking about, like, coffins and stuff like that. I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be a coffin match. Awesome. Great. And then they said Buried Alive. And Eric's like, I want this a Buried Alive match. And I'm like, he's like, is it? And then they did the, like, video for it. And it was still no disqualification, no count out. And both of us were just sad after that.
Yeah, you get hyped when they mention being buried alive. It's like, cool, they're going to bring back that gimmick. This is like a great blood feud to do it. Like, get shovels involved. Like, these two guys can handle that responsibility to do this proud. I think it'd be the first time since a first buried alive match that Taker or Kane wasn't involved in. So, yeah, please, like, that would have been great. Instead, we're just getting no DQ, no count out, which we've already said doesn't solve the problem of the finish of the last AJ versus Joe match. That stipulation would not have resulted in Joe getting the win, which was the whole gripe to begin with. But GM Paige, who we normally are pretty... we like to praise her. Her solution was that, and then her promo this Tuesday... I saw the question you asked on the blog. You want to elaborate a little bit on how great that promo was, Carrie?
Okay, so basically in her promo, listeners, I'm sure most of you watched, if you didn't, basically she alluded to the fact that this was the worst thing that has ever happened in the history of the WWE, and that trespassing is considered a fireable offense in the eyes of the WWE now. I was not aware that this was the worst. I swear they've done more questionable things than this. I mean, the words Katie Vick come to mind.
Big Boss Man hanging from Hell in a Cell. Austin. Just tons of Austin stuff. Taker sacrificing, ritualistically sacrificing Midian. Taker hanging Stephanie up to do something. Brian Pillman drawing a gun. I'm curious, how is this even trespassing? Joe was just on the porch and rang the doorbell.
Like, he was visiting. I mean,
how's that trespassing? Like, Wendy knows who he is. Unless they had some, like, legal protection, like, something, which they never said. They, like, that's all, they had to have at least, if they would have said, yeah, there was a restraining order or something, at least you could be like, okay, trespassing. No, nothing that we saw in the video, and she assured us that nothing else happened after the video. So he was at a doorstep and rang the bell, and that's the most heinous thing of all time?
And it was worth pressing, quote-unquote, pressing charges for?
I just... God damn it, that was one of the... I mean, we have sat through our share of dumb shit this year. So much dumb shit. And yet, I'm sitting here thinking, is this the most offensive to my brain as far as the storyline goes? And it might be. It really might be. From a storytelling perspective, that may have been the dumbest thing I've seen all year. So, kudos to Brian James. I'm going to give him shit since he stuck up for other bad storylines, like saying, no, Charlotte's still the face. Come on now.
Sure she is, Road Dogg. Sure she is.
Oh, yeah, so he got the match.
I got Styles retaining. They're not going to give Joe a win as much as we want them to. They're not going to give Joe a win.
I mean, speaking of guys that really should have an axe to grind with management, it's like, I don't know, who should be more mad, Samoa Joe or Luke Harper? One's being used on TV, gets big matches, but never wins a single feud. The other one had a nice run as tag team champion, didn't really lose hardly any matches, but now it's just been off TV for about 2 months now. Who actually has the bigger axe to grind in your mind?
I'm going to go with Joe. Let's think about this now. He's been on the main roster for what? Over a year now.
Year and a half, I would say.
Year and a half. The highest title he has held in the company is the NXT Championship.
Twice, right?
Twice. Yes. I think he's the only two-time champion.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that's saying, well, you'll give me the title there, but you won't for the main roster. What do I have to do? In Luke Harper's case, he's got a small gripe that, you know, it's like, I'm talented, you had a tag team title on me, my partner is injured, but I should be utilized, and you have a floundering mid-card. You have people that are sitting in the back near catering that have no role right now.
Like Shinsuke Nakamura. Even though he has a belt, he has no role.
I mean, there's not even... Nope. No United States Championship match in this card.
Surprise,
not
surprise.
Not at all.
Aside from SummerSlam, I don't remember the last time that belt was defended.
That was the last time the belt was defended, I think.
Yeah, good shit. Like, give me Luke versus Shinsuke. I'd be fine with that. The thing with Joe is that Joe seems like the exact type of guy Vince loves. A big dude who can talk on the mic really vicious. You can put him in with anybody and look legit. Like, that's a perfect prototypical guy. He's a prototypical guy that Triple H would like to push. So why is he not getting a push? Or are we just being oversensitive and overanalyzing wins and losses? Like, you know, that's what we do as fans. Sometimes we just overanalyze wins and losses.
I would say a little from column A, a little from column B. Fair enough. He's got a legitimate gripe, and he should be able... I mean, he should be on the forefront, given the taste that both the Triple H and Vince have. But there's the other factor, the AJ Styles factor.
The weird thing, though, is that we all admit AJ is the best in the world, or most people would agree.
One of the best.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but he can out-wrestle Mr. Omega Man. So
actually, they've never faced each other, so that's not exactly true.
No, of course it can be true. I'm saying he could, and he would. What I'm saying is that Joe, like, if AJ's a 99 or 100, what's Joe? A 98, 97? I mean, we're not talking a drop-off here of anything significant, right? Like, in all of the workers in all of the freaking world, Joe isn't out of the top 10. He's certainly in the top 10 workers. So it's weird, right?
He's an even matchup for Styles.
Yeah.
Even matchup.
He can go toe-to-toe with anybody, living, dead, it doesn't matter. Like, Joe's one of the all-time great in-ring. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to give him a win in Australia. It just doesn't. But where does he go from here? I don't know. Nakamura?
Yeah, I was going to say the same place they put Shinsuke.
Can we just bring Jeff Hardy back and have all the guys that have nothing to do that are heels just beat up? Like, can we just, like, have Randy, Shinsuke, Luke, Joe just all just beat the shit out of Jeff Hardy? Like, I'm fine with that.
That was an enjoyable yet very disturbing storyline.
Did you see Randy's new thing this past SmackDown?
No, I missed it.
Ah, so, like, he took off, like, the little sleeve for, like, where you tighten the ring ropes, like, the metal bar that actually has the... He put Ty's finger into it and started, like, cranking on it.
Oh, dear God.
It looked really brutal. Obviously, it was safe because Randy's hand's covering the finger at all time. He's just making movements like he's doing something. I was like, this is the perfect role for Randy Orton right now. Like, they've really found something good for him. So, kudos.
He's sadistic, and that is great. Speaking of him, he's not even on this card.
There's a lot of people missing from this card.
But they're on the poster.
Really?
The poster for this, Becky Lynch posted this on Twitter. She wasn't even on the poster. The SmackDown Women's Champion on the poster that she posted wasn't even on the poster. But Charlotte was front and center.
That is some slow clap. Was Bliss on the poster? Because she's not on the card.
I believe so.
This is the first
card. Finn Balor, I believe, was on the poster. He's not on the card. There's a lot of people on the poster that were not on the card.
Yeah, Finn Balor. There's another guy that... You know, they could have just done like a one-time special match of like Finn versus Shinsuke just since it was a super show. They could have done that for the fans. Could have.
Oh, that would have been lovely. I would love to have seen that matchup again.
Yeah. All right, what else we got next?
Oh, let's talk about the Shield.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. So we got the Shield versus Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre. Is it too early for the hashtag LOL of the Shield wins? Or should we have already had that already?
All I know is someplace in Perth right now, Russell's pants just got a little tighter. That's all I know. There was like a little bell jingling, and all of a sudden, somebody just mentioned him. All right. Yeah, I mean, I guess you got to have the Shield win because... How much longer until they do the quote-unquote inevitable breakup, if it is inevitable? Because I don't know if it's inevitable anymore. I don't want to say that word anymore.
I mean, they're teasing it like... They tease it all at Monday night.
Yeah, it was like they were like at a strip club in Utica or something. I don't know. Like, the teasing was absurd and, like, to the point of, like, okay, like... It was WWE's way of saying, hey, we know what you're all talking about. We know what you guys think's going to happen, so now we're just going to mock you with it. This whole thing feels like a giant mockery to the fans, which is kind of funny in its own way. But is that going to prevent the Dean heel turn, do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's going to. They're not going to actually turn him and actually do something good with him, even though it's what the fans want. I mean, that opening promo of Raw was any indication everybody wants to see him turn on them.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because I don't think Dean's getting turned, so that leaves you two, well, technically three options. One, you don't turn any of the three. That's boring. Option number two is turning Roman, which is the obvious thing that they should do and have refused to. Or the unforeseen route, just turn Rollins again. Nobody would see that coming. It would be kind of funny, wouldn't it?
And somewhere a bell just went off in Russ's head again.
Yeah, I think he kind of was like, oh my god, it's like, I'm not even touching it right now. Jesus. Like, can he just... I mean, really, we know Dean's would be good for heel. We know that, but... Gosh, in some way, I almost feel like they're going to keep this shit going until Mania. And then they'll trade, you know, do a trade so they have to break him up. I don't necessarily know if we're getting that heel turn.
No, we're not, because we want it, and we never get what we want.
I was also observing, here's how bad Raw's got. This is why Raw sucks right now. Because all three male championships are involved in the same feud. The rest of the 3 hours is completely pointless because nobody's getting any closer or further away from a belt, especially the Revival. Especially the Revival.
I guess they didn't impress Vince that much, huh?
Well, neither did Andrade, apparently.
Ugh, that's another one that's just sad.
Not even on the card. Yeah. I want to see Andrade and Finn. I think that'd be a fun match.
I like all of that.
Yeah, like I could totally get behind. God, I just WWE give me one event to book. I swear, I'll have fun with it. You'll thank me later. The fans will love me. I promise you. There's no way the shit. I'd like to find a way for the Shield to lose. I just can't come up with a single rhyme or reason for them to lose. Strowman's kind of lost. He is lost in the shuffle.
And that is so unfortunate. I mean, given the build-up last year that they gave the man, and then they pulled the rug that is in the shape of Roman's red wet hair right out from under him.
Here's a way the Shield can lose. I'll offer this. Brock Lesnar.
That's what's wrong right there with the whole situation. We actually want Brock Lesnar. After everything we went through for the past year, we want Brock Lesnar at this event.
Yep. That's how shitty... Between that and the news, which I know we didn't discuss before we went on here, but this feels like a great time to discuss it.
The rumor that I put on this week's blog.
Yeah. Bring it up. Talk about it, because it's good.
Okay, so I saw this on one of the wrestling Facebook pages I went to. Basically, something to the effect that it's rumored that the Saudi government for the April show in Saudi Arabia, is willing to pay upwards of $20 million to the WWE to have the Universal Championship belt on The Rock. And the other rumor is Roman Reigns' opponent at WrestleMania, The Rock.
And there's also the rumor that going around right now that the winner of the Royal Rumble is supposed to be a repeat winner. to add to that fuel, or fuel to the fire.
Oh, dear God. Why am I still watching this stuff?
Because you can smell what The Rock is cooking. But how much does The Rock make per movie? Like, does he make more than $20 million?
I want to say he makes at least that, if not more.
Like, I feel that he makes more, and I wonder, like, is it even worth his time? Like, most people, yes, this would be worth time, but is it worth The Rock's time with how big of a star he is?
No, I mean, he, at this point, basically, he can say, oh, hi, Vince, bye, Vince, and just say, nope, not doing it, I got 5 movies lined up.
I mean, really, I don't even know if the WWE could afford the insurance. Because you figure The Rock, to be willing to step back in the ring, I would say his insurance policy would have to be worth about $100,000 or $100 million. Because if he's out for a year, he's losing about that much money, approximately, I would guess. So that would have to be what the insurance would have to be worth, wouldn't you think?
That, and I don't think, like, the studios themselves are probably like, no. We're not going to, we can't sanction us. What if he has movies lined up after the event?
Of course he, I mean, he has movies lined up for next 2 to 3 years, probably. I mean, here and there, like, not all, everyone's lined up. I mean, he does have obvious stuff coming up. Who knows when Fast and the Furious 13's coming out, or whatever the fuck number we're on, or if we're gonna get a Skyscraper 2, or San Andreas 2, or give me the Rundown 2. I'd be stoked for that. I love the Rundown.
Oh, but the original was so good. Don't taint it.
It was. I love. The thing is, I love early Rock career. There got to a point where, like, a lot of his stuff, I'm just like, eh, he's not really adding much anymore to it. That period of time, though, where he was growing and learning as he was going was actually probably my favorite time as of Rock the actor. Probably right up to about Pain and Gain. I loved that movie with him.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, him and Wahlberg, like, he was hilarious in it. I don't know. I like the rumors, but The Rock already fucked somebody's nice title run up a few years ago. I don't need to see that shit again. Even if it's at Roman's expense, I don't want to see it.
It's been done. We don't want... No, no. At this point, just let the man have his Hollywood career. He doesn't need you anymore. And you need him more than he needs you.
And let's face it, his arms are not long enough to box with God. I love that line.
That was good.
All right, we got...
Speaking of part-timers, let's talk about Triple H versus The Undertaker, which will probably be our main event for this show.
Did you hear that this is going to be the last time ever that they're fighting? I wasn't sure if you heard that.
I heard it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. I mean, we're talking about the same company who gave us Once in a Lifetime twice.
Back-to-back years.
Yep, because everybody wants to watch The Rock versus John Cena in back-to-back WrestleManias. Yeah.
Oh, God, that was such a terrible, unfair run to Punk and Daniel, basically. Those were the two guys that got shafted the most out of that whole thing.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, we got this, and HBK's in Triple H's corner, Kane. Basically, Taker has the fullest head of hair. I think Taker should just shave it. Like, just all four guys be bald and just do it.
Wasn't Taker at one point bald?
About 3 to 4 years ago, was it in the worst match of all time when he was?
Oh, dear God, yes, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And then he started growing his hair out because he's like, nope, not going to let that happen again. But now he only has like half a head of hair. Like, that forehead goes back a ways at this point. And it's time to do something different.
All I know is I'm dubbing this matchup The old guys match. Did you see all those guys in the ring together? They all looked so old. It was so obviously bad.
What? Why was it? All right, in my opinion, I noticed it more with Kane than anybody, but I also noticed it with Taker. I noticed it with Shawn. I didn't notice it with Triple H, but Triple H's story was he just ran to the ring to fight. Kane looked, like, hesitant, would you say? Like he was kind of, like, letting Shawn and Taker kind of, like, take their shots at each other, but all he had to do was grab Shawn from behind, and they could have just double-teamed him much easier. He looked like he wasn't sure when to grab... Like, nobody looked like they knew what the fuck they were doing. It felt weird. I was uncomfortable. I didn't like it.
Yeah, it didn't look right. I think everybody was hesitant because they didn't want to hurt the other person. Nobody wanted to break a hip in that segment.
Oh, God. You know what, though? I must admit I do kind of dig Shawn with the short hair. Just because there was that point with the long hair where it was kind of Taker-esque, where that fucking forehead was going back. So, I mean, it really worked well for Triple H. Triple H actually cut it right at the right time before the peak got going too bad. Triple H is winning this, right? Because Taker and Kane got the upper hand?
That's my guess.
At this point, like, I mean, we're hearing rumors. There, once again, the internet's full of them. How many matches do you think Shawn's coming back for?
Do you think? I hope just the one in Saudi Arabia, and that's it. Because you know we're getting the tag team match in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah, because that... Somehow the prince is just like, I don't know, we have millions of dollars and we could be helping our country, or we could put on, like, this great fucking wrestling event, and everybody's just like, dude, just fucking go for it, man. Just give us a great wrestling show. Like, we'll worry about our problems the next day, but give us Shawn Michaels again. Give us Yokozuna. Okay, maybe not Yoko, but give us Shawn Michaels again. And here, we'll is the Saudi prince himself running a GoFundMe? Just, like, bring back all these classic wrestlers? It's baffling how much money he's willing to throw.
I got nothing.
It's... I don't know. I'm really hoping Shawn only comes back for a short period of time. With that being said, I think he's going to be really good. He's one of those guys that just knows what he's doing. The only thing is he's not going to be able to take the bumps, and that was kind of one of his big MOs. So it's going to have to be more ring psychology than ever before. That's where Taker's always had the upper hand, is that he was never a guy that took a ton of bumps. He was always ring psychology, so that's why he's been able to age gracefully. So, yeah. But
this is true.
When is this going to be happening? It's going to be Saturday morning for us?
Yeah, I believe so. I think around like 2 a.m. Oh. Or 5, no, 5 a.m.
Fuck. Either way, I'm going to be watching it on delay. I'm not going to get up for
so
this.
So are we.
It's not like... I mean, the greatest Royal Rumble... That event actually had a really good card to it. This card, really, how many matches, looking through the list, do you think are actually going to be above a 5, like above average?
Maybe 3.
Joe and Styles.
Yep.
And
Cedric versus Buddy.
Cedric versus Buddy, okay. What's your other one?
New Day versus Bar.
I was going to say possibly Charlotte versus Becky could be very memorable, but we're fearing the worst. But it could be memorable.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my thoughts, but then I looked at the card and I saw that. I'm like, that could be good, too. But yeah, this is a lackluster card, really.
And, like, it, unlike most times where, like, you know, like, when you do your... New Japan stuff, like, it's very top heavy. Those championship matches matter. Like, we ain't getting all that many championship matches. We're getting, what, four?
Yep. Actually, wait a minute. We're getting three. SmackDown Tag Team, SmackDown Women's Championship, and the WWE Championship.
And 205, so we're getting four.
Oh, yeah. There's a fourth. Good. I always forget about 205.
Good job, Raw. Not putting up your women or any of your guy male. Like, seriously, Raw's not giving up a single championship match, so believe that.
But we're getting the Bella Twins.
Ah, you can.
You have a women's roster with. You got a women's roster with Mickey, Alicia, Alexa, even though she's injured. Bailey, Sasha, and Australia. You're getting the Bella Twins.
Do you think Australia'd rather have the Bella Twins or Nia Jax?
Oh, I forgot about Nia.
Yeah.
She's still with company. Oh gosh, yeah. Poor Nia.
Yeah, she's still around. I mean, hell, maybe for WrestleMania we'll get Nia versus Roman if they can't afford The Rock. You'd watch
that. That would be fantastic. They'll never do it. Not because I mean
they just won't do it. Yeah.
No, it's a publicly traded company. Not gonna happen.
Right. All right. So we could.
I think we've beat this dead horse. Not as much as we did the dead horse that's related to Paige, but yeah, I think the listeners are fully brought up to speed on our thoughts on Super Showdown.
Honestly, we probably did more here than we will next week. Because is it next week when we have to not only review the show and then also preview Evolution, or am I thinking of reviewing Evolution and previewing Crown Jewel? One of those podcasts we got.
You're thinking reviewing Evolution, previewing Crown Jewel. I think I will actually. Oh wait, I won't be here for that show.
Oh dear God! Like as if Russ and I don't already have time management issues. We got to do a double that week. Jesus Christ! Well, ladies and gentlemen, just letting you know that'll be our first 4-hour podcast. Fan fucking tastic.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's not the look of a person that's sorry at all.
Yes, my plan is to land at the airport here in DC, go home and sleep. Because I have a feeling based on the schedule for this cruise, I am not sleeping much.
No, you're going to be on a cruise with a bunch of obnoxious fucks.
Yes, and Eric said he's not leaving my side.
Well, good for him, at least. Yeah. You're better off for that.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about what we're looking forward to next week in our segment. I'm not finished with you yet. My choice for next week comes from King of Pro Wrestling. I am dying to know who the newest member of Los Ingobernables de Japón is. I can't wait to see who it is. I have my thoughts given my breaking news, but I don't know if it's going to be Neville. I'm hoping it's Neville. Either way, I'm getting up at 5 a.m. turning on New Japan World and finding out. What about you, Kent?
That's such a good question that I guess I'm looking forward to talking about how disappointing the season premiere of Walking Dead was, and yet how much better it was than Charlotte winning the championship. So that's what I'm looking forward to next week. Already getting the disappointment, setting the bar real low.
That's probably a safe thing to do.
Yeah.
Given all the issues we've had with WWE booking this year.
I have one other thought. I know this is something that you brought up months ago, but the more I see it, the more I think about it, I'm like, I almost kind of wish WWE would institute a six-man tag. I hate the term six-man tag. It should be three-man tag. Should institute that and just one tag team championship, because there's so many three-man groups. And just have it defend on both brands. I you know, like, either way, you're still a member of whatever brand, but, you know, if you're, say, New Day could wrestle on Raw to defend it, for instance. Or you could just say that they're only defending it against the Raw team on a pay-per-view, for instance. That would also be fine, so they're not working double duty or whatever. I think it might be time to institute something like that, because it's getting overly dominated. There's so many three-man teams. Not that Sanity would get a push either way, but it'd be something.
It would get them on TV. Also, you already have like the three-man groups down in NXT, too. Because at some point, they are going to get the great idea to bring up the Undisputed Era. Which is actually now a four-man group, but I mean, seriously, how much longer do you think Roderick Strong's going to last in that group?
Oh, I don't even know why he's still... I don't like Roderick Strong. I don't want to say I don't know why he's still employed, because that's mean. He's a talented individual. He's just not my type of wrestler. That is the politest way I can say that. Honestly, they need to create the six-man division and reunite 3MB. That'd be who I'd crown as the first six-man championship, because then Heath Slater could be like, hey, first SmackDown tag champion for a six-man, like, and then he could just job the rest of his life until they made up a new championship for him to be the first one ever. Like,
that works. Hey, it'll get him on our TV. When was the last time we saw him? And whatever happened to Rhino?
Last time we saw them, what had to have been like Roman and Lashley going at it, I'm thinking, when there was that big breakup.
Oh, yes, the breakup, which had Authors of Pain involved, and they still couldn't keep those two apart. Yeah. Good times. Real good times.
I'm sad right now. Let's play the game.
Yeah, let's play Guess the Wrestler. All right, listeners, we're going to play Guess the Wrestler right now, and the rules are very simple for this game. Each week, one of us picks a wrestler. This week, it was my choice, and it's up to the other person to guess who that wrestler is using 9 questions and 2 guesses. Each week, there are 2 gimme answers, which I will give Kent right now. This is a current wrestler and a male.
Alright. Do they currently wrestle under the WWE umbrella, meaning NXT, 205, or WWE?
No.
Okay, fantastic. Do they wrestle more predominantly in Japan or the States?
In the States.
Currently, are they working in Ring of Honor?
Yes.
Were they former WWE in any way?
At one point, this person did do a stint in WWE.
All right, so I got 4 down already. Is this person currently more singles or tag team?
Neither. Commentator.
Oh, fuck. I actually was going to go with Trent Beretta. And now I'm really... Commentator, that doesn't do me much good because I don't know who the hell does commentary there. I know this person, though, I'm assuming.
Yes.
All right. When I knew this person... Were they commentator or were they other talent? Like wrestler, manager, something?
Wrestler. Wrestler.
Did this person wrestle in the Attitude Era?
No.
Shit. What the... Not that this is one of my questions, but what the hell... Doesn't Steve Corino still, like, do commentary someplace?
No, but he does do, I think, booking for Ring of Honor.
Son of a bitch. Okay. So So what do I got?
Or something having to do with Ring of Honor.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, once again, I've given two really good thought out attempts here on people. All right. In WWE, were they ever a champion?
No.
Okay. I got two questions left, and what era would I know them best from?
They were in WWE from 2007 to 2009.
I have at least three other questions, and now I have one question remaining, and I know I'm going to blow it here, but what? I really don't have anything right now, so I'll say, what color hair did they have while in WWE?
I think this person has always had brown hair.
Okay. I really don't have anything. Like, everything that I've had, like, you've debunked every single time. I was like, maybe MVP is somehow, like, doing something or... No.
All right, so I'll give you a couple hints.
Okay.
This individual has a pretty famous friend who used to be a big deal in WWE. This individual is part of the podcast family. Any thoughts yet?
The only thing that, like, when you say podcast family, I think of X-Pac. I think of Taz, but both of those were prior to the era you told me, and champions.
Well, actually, the best friend is his former friend now.
Best friend, former friend, CM Punk, Colt Cabana?
Yes.
Okay, former friend. Then I was like, "Who would be off Punk?" Of course, Scotty Goldman.
Yep.
I saw on WWE.com last week when I was looking for pictures. They had superstars that you may not remember were in WWE, and I'm looking through, and they give you the picture of the talent first. And then you hit next, and then you see what the name was. I'm not shitting you. I got like a third of those wrong. I know my WWE, and I still got like a third of them wrong. I was like, I don't... There were some people, even after seeing their names, I'm like, I don't know who you were. No idea whatsoever. So, yeah, but Scotty Goldman was one of them. So,
yep.
That makes me...
Good old Colt.
Yeah, didn't he... shit. I think I remember earlier this year he was talking about his gimmick, and he's like, they could have just called me Jewy McJewenstein, give me a name like that. And I was like, that's a really funny line. Like, it really was a funny line of his. So, kudos to him.
All right, listeners. Another week has come to a close. Kent, before we say goodbye to our listeners, any announcements?
Shit, everything... Well, Fear of the Walking Dead season finale blog's coming up. And then, next week we'll have the Walking Dead blog, so that'll be quote-unquote new, but everything else is the same. Purge, Mayans, American Horror Story. I don't know. I don't think we're doing a preview for this super show. I don't think anybody really gives a damn. So we're not going to do that. Yeah, it's just a bunch of horror blogs and me begging people for money to help support Nine Deuce and keep that funk alive. That's what we got going on this week.
And just to piggyback on that, definitely as soon as the link comes up, please check out that GoFundMe page so we can keep doing what we're doing, giving you good blog reads, giving you good podcasts.
Making fun of Russ.
Exactly. That alone should get at least $2 from you.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, listeners. So check us out at our website, ninedeuce.com. Should have a new look soon. I know Kent's busily working on that. So stay tuned for that. And also, if you're listening to us on iTunes, hit that subscribe button, rate, review. We appreciate any review, and all the negatives will forward to us.
Absolutely.
And with that, for Kat and myself, we say goodnight, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
I got a nice fuzzy blanket from Kohl's today.
Nice.